This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, what do you call it, Kramer?
The billiard room.
No.
The name.
The billiard. Not billiard. What? Not the billiards. It was... Come on, Rudy. What? Come on. We call it the
place to
be. The place to be. Yes, it's the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
This is the place to be here tonight.
Time to play the game.
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Actually, it's being John Akiyama is a better version of it.
What do you think, Woodley? You can finally tell Grant Owens you found new music.
I'll tell you what, I am impressed. Mm-hmm.
Sharon Lowe Supreme, let's get him a rinky-dinky-dink.
Yeah.
Let's get a rinky-do.
Hey, Nate, man, this is pretty much a highlight of my life right now. I had no idea you were going to be here. I wanted to drive that freaking ho train of my whole youth. You're the man.
And I thought he meant Nate Milton, the Godfather from Kings of Sport. Do you really think that's the Godfather?
Yeah, I did.
All you have to do is break out that fuck money.
I ate the pie. Watch your mouth, you scraggly Canadian.
That's a bit much. You, who murdered the dog with the sword, and I'm being a little too much.
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I'm just curious.
5 years! 5 years! We've been doing podcasts. And we have this. This is trash.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
It's the music.
Put me in the mood with my woman. Got me in the air saying sweet nothings. Make love come out the mouth, no fronting. Like all of a sudden,
just like music.
Taking away your worries and cares. Any problems?
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am your host, Justin Zero. Can meet you here on this Monday evening. And Scott Criscola, it seems like just hours ago you were here next to me.
I was. So it's not a seems. Good evening, JR. Good evening, Place B Nation. Welcome to episode 411 of The Mothership. We had a weekend of fun and frivolity in the Ocean State. Good to see you. And God, well, before the Yard Gnomes party, it was January that I last saw you, so.
Yeah, we always had the spring layoff, you know, and then we're back
yes.
at it.
Yeah, it's like the AWA schedule in the 80s. But good to see you. It was good to see you. Good to see Mr. D'Amato. And we had a good time. Hung out with your fam. And had a fine seafood feast.
Yeah, it was a seafood
yesterday.
Feast. And had some wings Saturday night. So it was a good weekend. Very good weekend.
Let me tell you something. They're a machine. I don't know if they were aunts or whatever, but they were just like shucking clams. Like nobody's been like whack whack. They had this like little machine shucking clams like crazy. They were like they were out of their minds. It's like a clams casino endless. I felt like I was at a actual casino, but it was a wonderful time. Quite a wonderful time.
I agree. And it'll be a wonderful time tonight because we are not inside the Big Steel Box, but we are still visiting the year of 2006 here tonight.
Yes.
And like we did a few weeks ago or so, we revisited the first episode of Saturday's Main Event of the reboot here in March of 2006. Mm-hmm. Of course, it had been dormant since the end of 92, but we're back at it here because there's another episode. The last of 2006 is here in July. And of course, last week we talked One Night Stand. Vengeance. And then
Vengeance.
Next week we'll be doing the Great American Bash and then SummerSlam after that. But mm-hmm. this comes in between Vengeance and the Bash. And a lot of stuff here, you know, leads to the build to both the Bash and SummerSlam. So we'll be covering all that. But we do have three gentlemen with us here tonight, of course, as always. So we can go ahead and cover the show live watch style. Mm-hmm. First, we'll bring back the man who was here last week. He wasn't invited, but he did pop in and he ended up hanging around. And of course, that is the host of the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Glenn Butler.
Oh, it does my heart good for you to pronounce it right. It does my soul good.
See, I listened. It's like soup on a hot summer day.
You know, you listen, learn, help, and lead. There used to be someone in the state doing that.
I don't know. Is that a Connecticut politics thing?
Yes, sort of.
Okay.
I thought Scott might get it, but oh well.
You broke up there, probably because this is Connecticut internet, but what?
Okie doke. Well, it wasn't funny enough to bother repeating. Thank you very much for having me back. I am always glad to barge in whenever possible.
Okay. Well, we like having you barge through that door, and you're here now, so we can go ahead and move along. And, of course, joining us as always is here tonight, I should say, is another great longtime fan and friend of ours, Glenn. We've known this guy a very long time, back to our old days on the good old blog of Doom, and he's still here one form or shape of another, whether it's in writing or podcast, or he hasn't been, I think, on the Place to Be podcast in quite a while, but you can hear him just about every week right now on the Hard Traveling Fanboys podcast, talking comics with Nick Duke, and that is our close friend, Greg Phillips. Gregory, how are you, sir?
Wonderful. Wonderful to be here with my dear, close, personal, longtime friends.
Superb, my friend. You were on a main event a while back?
Yeah, It's been a while. I've been focusing on this weekly podcast venture with Nick, doing the whole Hard Traveling Fanboys thing, which you can catch on Place to Be Nation Pop.
That's right. Just like we got Pop, like TNN, but we'll talk all about that in a little bit. Also, rounding out the crew here tonight, it's been a very long time for this guy, although not too long since you've heard him, because he was on a recent main event, but it's been a while since he's been here on the mothership, and I think Steve Riddle, I think we said, was it the trivia contest? Were you on one of the roundtables, one of the podcast, the pay-per-view roundtables? Were you on one of those?
Fortunately, no, I was not. It was the trivia tournament 3 years ago where I had my not quite 15 minutes of fame, but I think that was definitely the last time. But it's a great honor to finally make my official debut on a Place to Be podcast episode and doing something kind of cool like this.
Yeah, we're excited to have you, and of course it's good for you because it's good for us to have you because you've been doing the Vintage Vault previewings every Monday as well, early in the day before Scott and I record the vault. Your previewing comes up, and you kind of picked up where Chad Campbell left off, where you pick one of the matches from the show and you put up your thoughts and review, and it kind of sets the tone for Scott and I to come in later on. So the John the Baptist to our Jesus. It's well executed here at PlayStation.com.
That is superb.
Hopefully you're not beheaded. But
yeah, I hope not.
Well, if you are, Glenn, we have a hell of an episode for the spectacular. If that happens, I think it's.
Ooh, yeah.
Anyway, this went dark. So we're going to go ahead and take a left turn. And as I mentioned, we are looking at the episode of Saturday Night's Main Event from July of 2006, July 15th to be exact. And we're going to cover all the accoutrement that goes into that episode. We'll talk about, the build, the storylines, the matches, everything that occurs throughout it. Of course, it is available on the WWE Network, and that's where we'll be watching it from. And right now, we're all queued up and ready to go. Right now, we are all frozen on, as I think it was Greg said, Gotch and Hackenschmidt here, grappling in the opening credits. And I'm going to count us in, we'll hit play, and then we'll roll into this thing. So if everyone's ready.
Got it.
Let's do it.
Yep.
Okay, I'll count us in. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Oh,
yes,
that's
sir.
A
We've got a
right
great
there.
Main event for you tonight.
There's your high spot there, Greg.
What a takedown.
What a vicious takedown. Oh, my God. I missed that signature. I enjoyed that. I had that for a long time.
Yeah, it's they've gone through a lot. My favorite had to be the late 90s, for over 50 years, the Revolutionary Force.
Oh, that was that was like 93 to 97?
No, I think it was
the mid-90s.
Yeah, 95. The ice block one. That was the first one, right? The ice block. I think that was 95. Mm-hmm. And then they did like the yellowish one.
Yellow and red. Yeah. After Hogan left, a yellow and red one. We go right into the, unlike the first Saturday's main event in March where we had the old school stand-up little promos, we go right to the open. And we are at, tonight, gentlemen, the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas, for this evening's Saturday's main event, which, by the way, I believe is the last one they'll do live.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So
why the switch away from live? Why not do it live again?
I don't know. We'll get more into that, JR, when you and I get into 2007. But both the ones in 07, because I was at the one in the summertime at the Garden before SummerSlam, and that was taped because that was after a Raw. I don't know. Maybe NBC didn't want to give up the live time? I don't know. Well, I guess
yeah,
I don't know.
Probably just cheaper. Just tape it. It's part of our taping, I'm guessing.
So we have a Vengeance rematch of sorts, another 5-on-2 between DX and the God. Spirit Squad, except this time it's an elimination match.
Yeah, that's what we need. They have to bury them individually. Yeah, exactly. All
now we have a big 6-man tag involving the big players on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it looks like we don't really have any cross interbrand
no.
matches
and,
this time.
And for the first time, JR, since Bret Hart and Papa Shango.
Ooh.
A WWE Championship match on Saturday Night's Main Event as Edge.
So really just like two ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Edge will defend the title against John Cena. Now, JR, Edge was not the champion when we left the Big Steel Box.
No. He is now.
Yep, the Big Steel Box. Of course, when we left the Big Steel Box at Vengeance, it was, whoa, what is this? Hey, is that your buddy? Somebody stole it.
Greg Phillips and Glenn Butler take the stage. Actually, it's Nick that's the big Hogan fan, right?
So, oh, yeah. Nick's the yeah.
Glenn Butler take the stage.
Well, you know what? In 2006, this was amazing. In 2016, I'm sorry.
Not so much.
Oh, well, you know, events have transpired, my friend.
Nick, yeah, I know. Well, I know.
Let's pretend we're recording this in a pre-2015 world, Glenn. So go ahead.
Well, that would certainly be a great thing to pretend. And in that world, I am... very, very excited to see any appearance by Hulk Hogan, especially on live TV. Not quite so much for Brooke Hogan, but that's life. You know, that's how it goes. Not quite so much for him to be feuding. Is he already involved in his feud here? I believe he is.
I don't think so.
Starts.
No, it starts here.
Yeah. All right. Well,
what kind of fan are you, Glenn?
Oh,
I think
this
is Big Boss Man.
Is he feuding with the Big Boss Man? That'd be cool.
Yeah.
What is with Hogan's jeans?
What, that they're actually kind of modern?
Yeah, he's kind of got skinny jeans going on a little bit.
Yeah, it's unusual. Like, I'm used to, like, TNA Hogan, where he looks like, you know, the guy that's trying to look cool but is, like, 15 years behind.
The JNCOs?
Yes.
There was a sign in there earlier, Brooke Hogan's fan club. That was probably the only member...
Right. Yes.
Dixie Carter was a fan, too, apparently. She put her in charge of the knockouts division, as you may recall.
Oh, God, Knots. Yeah.
I feel like this is like the one time where Brooke's popularity was actually kind of at its peak, I guess, if there was a peak. I feel like she was kind of, you know, they were just starting the music thing. But remember, the reality show was still pretty big at this time. It, you know, it was pretty big for a couple of years.
It was the precursor to Crisley Knows Best.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Something near and dear to the hearts of the Place to Be Nation, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hogan fears arthritis, apparently.
It's probably true.
Oh, see, I was looking at the Hulk Hogan is the main event sign.
Yeah, me too.
he still looks all right at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was still hanging on. I don't think it was the physical stuff that beat him down, honestly. I think it's the car crash with Nick and all that stuff, and then the divorce that really – I think that's what, like, eventually broke him down and made him look like shit. Like, he was pretty vibrant here. He had a lot going on. He was really experiencing a bump between the, you know, Dodie stuff here and there, the reality show, Brooke getting going. Like, I feel like it was kind of, you know, a real peak time for him.
Now, was this his first appearance since SummerSlam 05?
No, he was at the Raw Homecoming episode.
Oh, Raw Homecoming, that's right. Raw
and
Homecoming.
He did the Hall of Fame, too. He inducted Mean Gene.
Yes.
Oh, right. That's right.
Correct. All right, so it's been a couple times. Okay.
Because I know you guys have mentioned in the last SNME rewatch how you thought it was weird that he wasn't for that show.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's be honest. He was the face of this show for freaking 6 years, pretty much. I don't think he missed – I mean, JR and I did all of them, and I don't think between the first one – and I think the last one, maybe he missed one.
Yeah, there was
He might have sold maybe the one, like one in 90 during the earthquake thing.
Or 89 maybe was. Yeah, he definitely was not in the summer of 91. And 90, not 91.
Yeah, 90.
One in the summer of 90.
He passed the torch to Papa Shango as the new face.
The new painted face.
The painted face. So he's pumping up the show and... the fans and
I don't like this Hulkamania shirt. This is a weird Hulkamania shirt.
Yeah. I never liked the face on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, the classic Hulkamania shirt is obviously the yellow one, and you know, a lot of the transgressions from that are kind of weird. And now this.
Yeah, company.
He looks, I mean, when he comes down the ramp, he just looks like a fucking Delta Chi freshman frat prick.
He looks right off the Bachelor with the rose. Have they already started the storyline on Hogan Knows Best yet? Because remember, this actually, they do a storyline on the show that was meant to carry over where Brooke was courting boyfriends or potential boyfriends, and Harry Smith, if you remember, David, you know, future D.H. Smith, came on the show as like Hogan set her up with him, and that was meant to lead to a feud, and then it never went anywhere. So I don't know if that had started yet, but
the Randy and Brooke relationship would never have worked out because she would have burned in his light. yeah, I was actually huge. I was actually huge into Randy Orton for a long time, and then I got out of him, and then I got back into him years later. But yeah, he was back in his douchebag heel role, which is his natural setting. I feel
it's him.
Yes, especially at this time. Like Randy Orton at this time has to be like the biggest douche in the entire company.
I'm sure he was glad that Kurt Angle was gone, so he could stop getting his shit kicked out of him. I think he did the last few shows.
And moving into a feud that promises to be a little softer.
Now, is Brooke just 16 years old here on this episode? Or how old was she by this
point? No way.
Oh, my really? God. No, I hope not.
Okay.
Hogan said, leave her alone,
yes,
they say.
Yes. I'm guessing she was – was she like – was she 20 yet, though? Or was she in her teens, though? Let's see how old she was. I feel like she wasn't that old.
How old was Orton at this time?
Brooke is 28 now.
So she was
really?
She's pretty
22?
Close. She was 18.
May 5th, 88, she was born.
So good. May 5th, 06, she'd have been 18. So
wow.
Not that
wow. Wow. They really shoved her right on TV so she turned 18. All right, go bang Randy Orton on TV.
It's just hard to believe she's only 28. It feels like she's been in the spotlight for so long. But
Randy
I guess
Orton
not.
Was born April 1st, 80, so 36.
So he was
26.
26. So she was 26 and she was 18.
Not too bad.
You want to be the cool guy walking around high
Cowboy
school.
Cowboy Morissette nods in approval of that.
Yes. She's just 18 years old.
Although, you know what? Randy Orton in this character is just the sort of guy who would date, you know, a girl that young to be the coolest guy in the high school when you're in your mid-20s.
Yes. Yep.
And that handshake.
Approval of the father, man.
They just shook hands. So.
They did okay.
Well, that handshake actually confirms that there will be a match at SummerSlam.
There you go. So it's doing the respect deal here early on.
Yes.
I'm going to bang your daughter after I beat you.
As Randy nods his head confidently.
I will beat you.
That's the confident head nod.
And the wink.
Look at it.
Is that the wink that won you over, Greg, right there? Was that the wink that won you over when you were?
It was. Okay. That was the double people's eyebrow.
Yes.
That means he was twice the star The Rock was at that point.
Oh, there you go.
Well, at this point,
now we get a little vignette on the Animal Batista, who of course had been injured since early January,
pretty much since he had won the title a year earlier. Perpetual injuries,
right? So is this his return here? This is his first night
yes.
back?
Yes, okay. This is first
yep.
night back.
Yep.
First
night. Much hyped at the time. I remember watching SmackDown every week. This was greatly anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's a good hook, too, for the show. You know, it's a really and, you know, I just realized, so this was live. It was in prime time.
Yes.
Still again. So I'm guessing that's what the difference was, is I don't think those later ones are in prime time. I think they were later.
No, they moved it back to the old
yeah, so they probably said, screw this. You're not drawing on prime time on Saturdays. We're moving you out. So I'm guessing that's what led to the tape versus live. They weren't going to do live at 11:30 or whatever.
Yeah, they're definitely not going to do a live show at 11:30 at night. Right. Mm-hmm. Unless they're, you know, in a foreign country or something, another time zone.
Yes, this was part of Rey Mysterio's awesome push as world champion when he never won a match.
Odds that he jobs in this match?
Very high.
Well, I don't like his chances. The guys on the other side are wrestlers.
King Booker.
I am a sucker for this King Booker gimmick.
What is going on with Cole's facial hair? I'm hoping we get a full glimpse of it later. That was only a quick shot, but it looked absurd.
We have Regal as Booker's toady already.
Yes, fantastic. Yeah.
Greg, I definitely agree with you that you know, a lot of people kind of crapped on, you know, Booker and, you know, his like his acts and stuff, but I'll tell you what, since he became king, he has really worked hard to get this thing over.
Oh, totally, yeah. The voice inflection, the accent, the bizarre sayings that really aren't sayings, but he thinks they're sayings. Remarkable. I mean, I have nothing but respect for him reinventing himself like this.
And I always found it funny that it's like, you know, he came over so hot from WCW, and all that time he's basically been doing the WCW gimmick, and he never broke through. And then they finally broke him down and give him this like WWE-ized gimmick, and then he immediately ascends to like the main event and gets that run. You know, it's like they had to completely break him down and reinvent him, and they finally did it. And that's when, and you know, kudos to him. I think it was coincidental more than anything that that's when it happened. But he worked his ass off. We've watched it. And, you know, Steve, you as well, as you're doing the previewings throughout 05. You know, to me, the final nail, like the rock bottom, was the bestiality thing with the Angle. Like ever since that feud, he really kind of started to turn it around. And then, you know, the series of Benoit that really kind of kicked him up a notch, and then into the King stuff. So, of course, teaming with Finley here as well.
Yeah, Finley, the U.S. champion.
Yes.
And another reason to watch SmackDown every week.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for a fact, but I heard that he likes to fight. I don't know if that's true.
It's the word on the street. Along with, so Cole does have this little what's the guy from The Princess Bride facial hair going on?
I don't know.
Andre? No.
No, not Andre.
Andre.
Who's the guy from The Princess Bride? The main guy. What the hell's his name?
Perry Ellis?
Perry Ellis?
The shirt? No, you're thinking Cary Elwes. No, it wasn't him. Wasn't it, what the hell's the guy's name? I don't remember the actor's name.
Oh, we're getting just...
Anyway.
By everyone listening right now.
Here comes Mark Henry.
He just got hurt. Oh, wait, sorry. Maybe that's later.
It's coming.
Not yet. Oh. Not yet.
Spoilers.
Hey, he's got sparkly knee pads. Wait for it. Wait for it. Look at him. There they are.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got the knee pads. He's got the trim along his neck.
He's very sparkly.
He is very sparkly, and either he went through the shower at the gorilla position, or he's already been working out today.
Indigo Montoya. Yeah. He didn't quite have the soul patch, but he had the same exact mustache that Michael Cole has right now. Indigo.
Senior referee Nick Patrick in charge of this one.
You know, I think for a big six-man tag like this, they need two referees.
I agree. How can you keep up with all the action if you just have one? That's something that I've been arguing since, what, 1986 or so? 87?
Lashley
gets gotta have multiple referees.
Lashley gets a huge pop here.
Oh, they've done a nice job moving him up the card, and it helped, too, that they paired him with a lot of veterans. You know, they didn't do too much too soon. They let him work with JBL. Now he's working with Finley. You know, I mean, he's getting, like, a lot of reps in with guys that know what they're doing, and it, you know, pays off as he moves up the card.
And importantly, they didn't let him talk at this
right,
time.
That as well.
Right.
Yeah, at this point, the Lashley push was going by steps. You know, he came in and he beat, you know, Simon Dean and a bunch of those guys. And now it's gradual. He's into the U.S. title mix and he feels at home there.
Speaking of big pops, here comes the returning Batista.
Big Dave.
His pops, ridiculous. Might be the biggest one of the night.
I can't believe they actually let Ray come out last.
I know, that does it's just prepping him for what's to come.
I thought he'd already be in the ring alone before they even let him.
They give him the little pop-up promo video.
Oh, and he has to stand there for 10 minutes while Regal tells us to hail Booker?
Yeah.
You mentioned about Finley being U.S. champion. I think, if I remember correctly, he had beat Lashley for the title the night before on SmackDown.
That is correct.
That's it pretty did cool. Happen. Yeah, that's neat. That's neat. I like when they do stuff like that. When they have the back-to-back shows, they do something big on the first one. And they, you know, you hype it. In case you miss SmackDown, they hype it right out of the gate on the next day. So it's a cool touch.
Hey, nice little pop for Ray, too. Not quite to the same level, but...
No, it definitely... Yeah, no I made a point. No, I made a point to pay attention to that today, and this pop is not nearly as big as Batista's. Not bad, but not nearly as big as Batista's. And they actually said...
In fairness... You know, he had been out for 6 months or whatever, so.
And now see, the graphic only says world champion, but Chimmel or whoever the heck's doing the announcing actually says heavyweight champion, because JR and I mentioned this at I think both Judgment Day and One Night Stand, that after he won the title, they took the heavyweight out and just called him world champion. I think for obvious reasons that he's not a heavyweight, but
right. I noticed that too. And I guess I'll plug right now my Vintage Vault previewing for tonight. I did take a look at this 6-man tag. So go to PTPlaceToBeNation.com to check on that and read along while you guys are watching along with us.
There you go.
Excellent plug, Steve. Excellent plug.
Brad Woodling smiles.
Yes, he does.
Use the Amazon link.
Yes,
buy the shirt.
Buy a shirt.
2, 1 for 10, 2 for 20.
JR, his hair is back to the awesome. He let it grow out a little bit to like the 03 or 03-04 like evolution phase.
Yeah,
it's like I was just thinking the same thing.
When he was like the awesome, you know, evolution muscle.
The Demon Batista.
Yes.
That's right. Back when it was called the Demon Bomb.
The Deacon Batista.
The Deacon Bautista.
Bautista! For God's sake.
For God's sake.
Actually, I think he was bald when he was a deacon, wasn't he? Oh, no. Did he grow his hair off of the deacon?
No, I think he was a little bald.
No,
he didn't have the Leviathan contact lenses. But...
Yeah, nice belly to belly. Yeah.
Very nice belly to belly.
Oh, and we have our quick standoff.
I like that they have Batista start on the apron. Like, build to the tag for him. Oh, yep. If they come back for commercial, he's in the ring. That'd be break.
Nope, it's Ray, and he's being worked on.
What a show.
Expect a whole lot of that going forward. I'm not going to cast any aspersions, by the way, 'cause I'm a huge fan of the guy, but Ray's looking a little plump. Thicker. A little thicker here.
A little plump.
Than previously.
Yeah, that's definitely something that happened as this year wore on. You know, I love the guy too, and he's an incredible competitor. 2006, not his best year.
I know, sadly. It's sad. Very sad, because, I mean, he finally gets like the big bell and kind of gets the run. It's just, all those pay-per-view matches have been good. But the week-to-week is where he falls apart.
And the booking was so bad. I mean, I remember Khali and I believe Mark Henry beat him at one point.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just perpetually beating your world champion doesn't seem like
that. That was a beautiful springboard moonsault there.
Yes, it was.
Because the match with JBL was really good at Judgment Day. The match with Sabu was good. You know, Mania was good. And here you go, Glenn.
Yes. Oh, we got my greatest hits here.
The little bastard.
Pre-Hornswoggle.
Yeah, this has got to be. Yeah. Well, they're around the same height. But this has got to be.
those were some of the weakest shillelagh shots I've ever seen, though.
And it was even hitting him.
It's probably Vincent to make him be in the match against Ray. Like, okay, they'll be even out, you know?
And he drops him.
Actually, originally up for the role of Hornswoggle was Super Kalo, but they couldn't get him.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Big Dave and Bobby, who is... Who's got the more impressive physique at this point?
Right.
Who's got the clearer blood? Oh, wait, what?
Well, we're right after the kind of the false start with the wellness after Eddie, where they implemented it, but no one is really following it.
No, they quote implemented it, and then it quietly went away for a while.
Right. And that hits the brick wall very hard about a year from the show. So
yeah.
Ooh. For now, though, we'll enjoy the gassed up bodies one last time.
I have to say, too, in addition, you know, to go back on what I was saying about Booker, I think adding to his heat a lot was how good Charmel was as his valet, just being the annoying, you know, mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She was fantastic. A big part of him getting over, for sure.
I think what worked about that gimmick was everybody bought in. Everybody mm-hmm. involved. Booker, Charmel, Regal, Finlay, everybody bought in to the gimmick, and I think that's the only way it would have worked.
And they went so, like, absurdist that it came back around and worked real well, you know, because they went so over the top, because, you know, something like that can get a little hokey, but they really mm-hmm. went balls out and made it so goofy that it worked.
I mean, quite honestly, there's never been a King gimmick to me that wasn't hokey, right. So you've got to embrace the hokiness.
Yep.
Yeah.
Henry looks like he's just got hurt.
Yeah, I think this is where he split his kneecap. Yeah. running into the buckle, turnbuckle.
And now, you know, Batista's bothering the ref and people are interfering. You know, everyone's got to do some business while Mark kind of rolls out of there and gets assistance because he's done for a while.
Yeah, it's a real bad injury.
Yeah, he's not good.
I think he tore up his knee.
Yeah, I remember he split his kneecap, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
my
gosh.
He didn't get his wig split. He got his kneecap split.
Jeez.
Patrick throwing up the X.
You can see Batista. Yeah.
Well, they had a big, you know, that was supposed to be one of Batista's big feuds coming back. I think was it already scheduled for the Bash, I believe? They were going to fight.
Yeah,
Mark Henry had taken Batista out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's why they were, you know, pointing fingers at each other accusatorily when Batista was coming in. And yeah, that was all set up. They were showing the footage of Mark Henry supposedly being the one to put Batista out in January. And now Ray is pinballing around, avoiding everyone.
Yeah, here comes Batista.
Cute little spot there. I like that.
And now finally, Batista, you know, coming in wrecking shit.
Yep.
So important to build to that tag.
Yep. As Henry needed surgery, doctors later found that Henry completely tore his patella tendon off the bone and split the kneecap completely in two. So he must have whacked the shit out of that thing.
Was this a turnbuckle pad? What the fuck? I mean,
spine buster.
Now, according to this, he's not gone that long.
I thought he was for some reason.
According to this, it says he was back on the May 11th, 07 SmackDown.
Oh, okay.
It's a little less than a year. It seemed like, but it did seem like longer.
Yeah. Batista cleaning house.
Yeah, when they tagged him in, the place went crazy.
It's always funny seeing when it's not their fault, obviously, but the faces have a 3-on-2 advantage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good to still have that Batista tag in your pocket to
619.
Bring everyone back after the injury. And then the 619, which people are still going to pop for, going right into. I mean, Batista and Ray are a couple of guys who had a lot of chemistry as a tag team anyway.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Ooh, now, does Lashley get a moment? Nope, Lashley doesn't get a moment.
Nope.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, Batista win. And this is already, I mean, they're already setting up and teasing him as a potential title contender, obviously, by pinning Booker, you know, or at least, you know, being in the main event picture by having him get that win.
So what did they do? What did they do with Dave right after this?
He was supposed to fight Mark Henry, obviously. And as we'll talk about next week, he ends up, there's a replacement to fill some time. But you could tell he was already earmarked for SummerSlam to face the champion. I mean, they were And, you know, in fairness, he had never lost a belt, so.
Yeah, and he was going to come back definitively as the big dog of SmackDown.
Right.
One thing also notice about I'm sure you guys will eventually get to it next week, the awesome commentary of JBL, how he puts Batista over but covers up the injury by saying that he never got his hands on Henry.
Right.
So. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, JBL was awesome right off the bat. It was incredible.
Yep.
So now we got Vince and the Spirit Squad plotting away for their match.
This is hilarious, actually.
Man, I like the Spirit Squad at the time, but they just did not do them any favors. I mean, you know, they worked their asses off to get this stupid gimmick over, and it was working, and then they just bury him left and right here.
Vince's facial expressions are so good.
And he's giving a pep talk, and now we got DX come in. And I think my issues with DX, from the humor right down to the shirt, to me is like the perfect example of how stupid. They're like the little kids, they just look dumb. Like, I don't know, like it just, they were so edgy and cool in '97, and here that is, I don't know.
So, I did not like any of the shirts that came out in 2006. None of them. They all look stupid.
Like, you know, the parents of kids like going and getting drunk and having a crazy weekend.
Like,
I don't know.
I feel like at this point the bloom was still on the rose for the DX reunion, and then like for me it was probably by October I was kind of like, okay, that was nice, now end it. And then by like January I was like, you know what, Triple H is way better as a heel. And then it took years and years for him to actually turn heel again. Mm-hmm. So,
One thing I appreciate about this segment? Vince has Van Gogh in his office.
I just noticed that, too. That's really
albeit a crookedly hung Van Gogh.
Yes. Rushed one.
Speaking of
anyway, what's going on here is that they're showing this promo, but they lowered this audio, and Sean and Triple H are like mouthing stupid things like they're going to – you know, the Spirit Squad is going to spank Vince's naked butt in the hotel and – saying things like, "Oh, these guys are all going to kick my butt." And, like, it was a whole like goofy little more childish antics. from two 40-something-year-old guys.
Very childish. It would have been better if they had, like, kids that they mentored to be assholes, like, yes. instead of them doing it. You know what I mean?
Can I just say, I know that around this time, everybody was, like, really high on Kenny from the Spirit Squad for some reason. I never saw anything in him.
Oh, they loved it. Yeah, he was always pegged to be, like, the next big breakout guy.
Yep.
And I never saw it. I just – he seemed so basic and generic and uninteresting to me.
Yeah, I agree. I felt the same way about all the Spirit Squad guys, frankly.
Mm. As a unit. It was definitely a group that was, as a unit, far superior than in any way singles at the time. You know what I mean? Like, as a group, their energy and the way they bounced around and worked the gimmick worked well. But, yeah, trying to isolate any of them, no one really stood out of the pack.
Certainly there was no way to tell that that Ziggler would become – you know, a really good wrestler in his day. So
we got some Divas bull riding right now
from earlier tonight.
Yes. Well, during the dark portion of the show, they did a Divas bull riding contest, and then the finalists were actually going to compete later on in the actual program.
Oh, good.
I'm sure this was really popular in 1981 Texas.
Oh, kind of sad Mickey did not advance because that tank top thing she had going on was
she was so hot.
With the Skinner trucker hat, very hachi-machi.
Yeah, she was so hot this time. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be Michelle and Victoria in the finals.
Yes.
Of course, in Dallas, that's why. Yeah. Got the bull riding.
Is this post-Eminem?
Yes. I think so, yes. Right. Yeah, because Nitro is the Intercontinental Champion.
Yep, they also lost it. Oh,
the big question, was this post That's My Painting from Jeff Hardy and Johnny Nitro's feud?
No, it's after that. He hasn't come back yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's after that.
No, this is – they just to give you a recap, they lost at Judgment Day and then Nitro and Melina kind of turned on Mercury. And then as we've talked about on the Vintage Vaults, Teddy Long fired them and then they showed up on Raw. And then at Vengeance, Nitro won the triple threat to become the Intercontinental Champion.
And
very good triple
match.
Threat.
Yeah, great match.
Very good triple threat. Him, Carlito, and Shelton Benjamin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big
Shelton
push.
Benjamin.
Big push for Johnny Nitro right on Raw.
Yes.
But yeah, the
Melina's looking pretty hot, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she hadn't crossed over yet into being like the – I don't remember. When did the – everything start with her as far as the word backstage about how she was backstage, you know, kind of crazy. And just like she just literally just got out of bed.
Now, not that that's a bad thing.
No, not
I know, but she looks – and Trish is always hot, but right now, this night, she looks fucking incredible.
Oh, so it's the crimped hair, I guess, I did it.
Yeah.
Why is she here? Is this a mixed tag?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yes, Carlito.
Oh, was when she was dating Carlito back whatever for that.
I don't – I literally have no memory of that happening.
It was a real quick thing.
So she's already recovered from her shoulder injury from Backlash, right?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know when she had returned. It must have been probably not too soon before this.
I wonder if NBC liked the Do You Spit or Swallow shirt on prime time.
JR and King for Raw matches.
And King was not holding back. He didn't care that they were on NBC. He was full-blown Pervil. Full-blown Betty Mardones right here.
Yeah, she was out for 6 weeks. Returned on June 26th.
Carlito,
and that night she started a romantic angle with Carlito.
Carlito perhaps has the track record of the corniest looking shirts in WWE history.
Behind John Cena.
at least Cena's shirts.
I wasn't trying to provoke Glenn there, so I was like, with old Carlito there. I mean, all of his shirts are just some variation of a smiling apple.
True.
And at least Cena's shirt sold.
Is this supposed to get us behind Carlito as a face that he's like hooking up with Trish? Like, that makes me angry.
No.
Trish. Like, I don't want to like him now. Like, screw you. But I think that lasts actually until almost she leaves that romance. Like, I think it's not like heavy, but it's on it all. You know, like they kind of.
Yeah, I was just about to say, they never really went heavy on it. They never really committed to it. It was just kind of a background element for both of them.
Right. They team up a lot and stuff.
Well, it felt like more of a foreground element for Carlito because he had less, you know, going on as it was. But for Trish, you know, a lot of background for her, and her angles have a little more investment in them generally. So for Carlito, it's like, oh, yeah, there's this doof, and this is the one thing he's doing.
kind of interesting there. Malian just licked, just sucked her thumb before she stuck it right in her eye.
I didn't quite understand that, but to each their own, I suppose, when it comes to the game of Matt technicianship. Technicianship?
And now she just had Kaleo's lick her hand before she chopped Melina.
Yeah, she started doing that around 03, 04, something like that. And hey, nice little bump there.
Ooh!
The Mickey angle is good for her because I feel like she was getting a little too formulaic at times, you know, as a face. Going to the same, you know, handful of moves a lot. And I'm not expecting her to have like this really highly developed moveset. But the Mickey thing kind of made her get out of her comfort zone a little bit that she was settling into. And I feel like she goes right back into it here now.
I also thought she had a lot less to work with around this time other than Mickey. Right. I mean, I mean, Trish was still really good, and I think that as she lost weight and lost musculature, it actually helped her work, helped her take better bumps. Mm-hmm. Carlito in the way there a little bit, but that's all right.
That was a nice wheelbarrow suplex, though.
Yeah, Carlito, he had a little renaissance around this time. He really kind of woke up at the ring. If you guys haven't seen that Vengeance match, I recommend checking it back out. It was really good, and I think it was one of the best moves Carlito ever had.
There's the backstabber.
So a quick
now is it minutes. The is it the backstabber or is it the back cracker since he's a babyface?
I think it's the back.
It's cracker. It's cracker right
now.
It was
called the backstabber regardless of
whether JR said back cracker here.
Yeah,
I do remember that today.
Although JR was said back cracker things up like that. So this
they changed it to based on whether he was a face or a heel. He would be the back cracker if he was a face, and it'd be the backstabber if it were a heel. I remember this. This was one of Carlito's trademarks on the GM mode of SmackDown versus Raw.
That conniving song.
Yes.
Which is maybe the most important point in all of this, is that this was around the time when GM mode was coming into the lexicon. Nick Duke and I would use it to clear rooms at my house.
Oh, man. Anyone who read the High Spot, the column I had with Steve Willey back, you know, about a year and a half ago, knows my love for SmackDown versus Raw 07 and its general manager mode. And this is about the point in time when that's from.
Yep.
And I wanted to mention it before during the tag match because, you know, seeing Batista and Bobby Lashley together, anyone who read my reminiscences about that in the High Spot know how important a tag team they were in my general manager mode. So
it was amazing. There would be a group of maybe 12 people gathered at my house, and if it was getting late and we wanted to clear the place out, Nick and I would start playing GM mode, and we'd look up about an hour later, and the entire place would be empty.
Yeah, I love that guy. I love all that whole series.
Versus the WrestleMania tailgate, where Nick Duke just pounded a handle of vodka and was being belligerent, and then everyone just cleared out.
Oh, no, he's wise enough not to do that around me most of the time.
Okay, I'm only kidding. He was great. And yes, here's Kevin Von Erich brought out in front of his hometown Dallas crowd. Nice little surprise here. Of course, he had come back into the fold around Texas Wrestling Legend. Had come back to the fold around the Raw Homecoming was his big return. So pretty neat that they had him and they, you know, bring him out for these pops here and there. Survived a lot of tragedy, so.
Yeah, I always liked it during this time frame. They were doing that a lot. They were always having, like, in the certain places that we go, they have, like, the legend appearance to, you know, pop the crowd, and they would always be, like, a special referee for, like, the main events. I thought, you know, that was kind of cool to pop the house shows. Time now for our handicap elimination match and the two holding cells put around the ring.
Why does DX's... Why does
like it flashes?
Yeah, I just noticed there's buildings collapsing in their entrance video.
Well, that goes back to 97, 98.
All the chaos they're bringing about, Greg.
Oh, I see.
But that's how it was. That was their intro back in the day. They had the collapsing.
Collapsing the stock market.
Collapsing. The new thing now is the actual graphic on the screen, which they never used to do.
You know, which is cool.
And every bit of stock footage you can get.
Yes.
It's like when Dr. Evil shows the guys in the 60s, the scene from Independence Day.
It's like all, you know, all the shit around them is like the same. And then they come out and it's just like, this is not the same. Like you get the music, you get the video, you know, like the idea of it. It's like everything's
Sean's
there.
Chaps.
Yep, Sean's chaps, you know, the color scheme. And then they come out.
And they're 40.
And they're 40, and they have fake children doppelgangers on their shirts, and I don't know. It's just...
spray tan.
Like, I was really into it when they announced that this was happening, and then I just hated it. Like,
even I, who was never even a fan of the original DX because of my Bret Hart fandom at the time, even I was like, oh, this will be something different and cool. And, you know, and then it happened, and I was like, well, the best laid plans.
Well, on paper, it worked in one way because everyone was, you know, the Triple H heel stuff was just really burnt. Like, everyone just needed a break from it. And
yeah,
it dominated for so long. And also got him out of the title picture for a while, you know, do tag stuff. But, and the Spirit Squad really, in a vacuum, is sacrificable, whatever. I mean, they were really never going to go that far. And you got a feud with the McMahons, which is fine. So, you know, they're out of the way. So, on one hand, it really works to clear up a lot of the issues we've had. But on the other hand, they play it up, I don't know. Like, Sean tried to ham it a little bit, but, like, Triple H has to take himself so seriously.
No, Triple H just always came off like he thought he was really, really funny.
Right,
in these
but Sean kind of played up the, like, we're old guys doing this, you know? Like, they
needed
to embrace that they were. And I feel like Triple H did later when they do it again. But in this run, he was still taking it like it was 97, which, you know, later on they would do the whole, like, okay, we're clearly two old guys doing the stupid shit again.
I also kind of didn't love, and this is just the nerdy continuity freak in me coming out, which is pointless in wrestling these days, but I didn't like how they went from literally the worst enemies in the world who were willing to murder each other in the ring, and then within like, okay, they're forced together because of their mutual hatred of Vince, and now they're best friends, and
right,
they're high-fiving, and they're cutting jokes, and they're doing intercut promos, and 1940s comedy routines and whatnot.
And they did such a good job slow building it, like you said. Like, they really teased the Triple H thing for a while. I mean, he did the first crotch top at Mania, you know what I mean? So they were really teasing it. And then all of a sudden, they went full throttle. Like, they ramped it, and then boom. Like, they didn't, you know, they didn't get there and then slowly have them start to trust each other. Maybe lose a match with the Spirit, you know, like something like that. And they have
Sean is just so cool with he's decided to just forgive Hunter for almost breaking his back. After SummerSlam.
Well, you know what? Sometimes, you know, you try to be the person you want to be. And if Sean wants to be a truly heartfelt, forgiving person,
that's
then,
true.
You know, that's going to get tested.
That's a good point. And again, I feel like they really missed the chance by not having Hunter eventually turn on him and teach him a lesson.
Yeah, but give him credit, though. Ever since they got back together, they're massively over.
Oh, yeah. That was a gimme. I just wish they weren't. I mean, it was a good idea. They had to do it. They had to do it at some point. So may as well do it now, like we said, to get, you know, give Triple H a change of pace and get him out of the title picture. It's just, I wish it could have been better. That's all. You know.
Why is Mitch the only one wearing a long sleeve shirt underneath his singlet where everyone else isn't?
Back knee.
Yes. Sean's now got the
megaphone
there.
Uh-oh, Sean's got a piece of cardboard.
Boom!
I mean, and the thing is, it's such a like a heated feud with the McMahons and everything, and then all these matches of the Spirit Squad are like straight comedy. Like, even the Vengeance one, Glenn, that, you know, and Scott, that we talked about last week, like, there was a little bit of seriousness, but all of it was so much comedy. And even the house show match I saw, I was like, just, I don't know. It was like Bushwhacker matches.
You know, I don't know. Even the serious aspect of it, I felt like was kind of shoehorned in.
Right.
Because you can't take any of it seriously.
That was funny, though. The him blowing the air horn in their ears, that was
pretty
funny. There you go. One down.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Boom.
Beat them all.
Good night.
I mean, it's like, how much further can we bury these guys? And they're the tag champs. At least get the belts off them.
Yeah, they wouldn't get the belts off them for a while.
It's like, what the hell?
Oop, I mean, commercial break.
I mean, it's literally, this feud has been like 7-on-1. I mean, 7-on-2. You know what I mean?
Now, which Spirit Squad was it?
Sure, NBC loved that.
Yeah. Awful. It's real bad. Nice spine buster by Hunter, at least, but I'm guessing this is another elimination, another nail in the coffin.
Two, and yep, there it goes. Is that, I think that's Johnny, so 3-on-2 now.
Cramming all in this cage.
Johnny, is that Johnny Jeter who was like the OVW champion for what felt like an eternity?
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember he got so much publicity online around this time.
And right, big chance.
Yeah.
Well, kind of the same way, like with Nick Dinsmore, and he got saddled with the Eugene gimmick. So
yeah, at least that had somewhat of a kind of main event run.
He did the best he could with that, you know.
And I think Johnny tried, but the DX gave these guys no chance with this whole thing. And the sad thing is, this is a good gimmick. Like, if the Spirit Squad had actually been built up as threats, and you want to see them really get their comeuppance, so we're going to stick them in a cage one by one and get them, you know, as they get eliminated. But no, we've already seen DX beat them 5-on-2 once. Like, okay, what is locking them in a cage going to do? Make it easier? You know, this is why if they would have been in the middle of the show, or, I don't know, I wish they could have found a way to not.
Ooh, that was a nice chair shot there from Vince.
So five cheerleaders, and his son.
Sean was still so smooth in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when they were doing the crisscross spot a minute ago, just incredible.
And, I mean, the Spirit Squad was in here as, you know, big league fodder just so that it wasn't DX versus Vince McMahon every week.
Right.
Yeah. Unless they have the idea that these, you know, hey, these guys are, you know, young enough that we can keep them around for a few years and build them back up after this.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if anyone saw that they were going to last a real long time with this whole gimmick.
No, I think in their minds too, like, even though they're kind of getting squashed here, just working with DX was like a rub for them. Like, I think that's what they honestly thought in their minds was, okay, well, they're basically working main event matches. They're aligned with Vince. So I think they even saw it, even if they're losing, that in a way they're kind of being put over by even being in the spot.
Sadly, this was the closest we'd ever get to Ziggler versus Michaels, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Kenny going up top here. Will he come up on the leg drop? Nope.
See, like, even there, they could have had him maybe eliminate Shawn. I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's such a conundrum. I get why they didn't feel like DX should be beaten, and they wanted to keep him, you know, strong for the Vince stuff. But I just don't go ahead and keep doing 5-on-2. Like, just pick two of them.
Yeah, just pick two, yeah. You know? I mean, it didn't bother me that much because the Spirit Squad was such a forgettable gimmick.
Yeah, but
I mean, at least they didn't have Shawn and Triple H actually win the titles. That would have been even worse.
Well, it might have been better to get them off them. They're already jobbers anyway. But
yeah, but then who would DX have lost them to?
Anyone.
Rated RKO.
Right.
Well, eventually.
Later in the year. Yeah.
Oh.
I just felt bad at Spirit Squad. These guys really busted their asses.
Oh, sure.
You know, they really worked hard to get this over, and it worked. Like, they were getting pretty good heat. They were working well in the ring. And then, like, they just hit this wall here of just getting destroyed and being made into goofs. Like, it was already a goofy gimmick, but, you know, they didn't have to make them goofs, you know.
Right.
Nope. I don't think we're going to get the pedigree.
So. And bye-bye.
Goodbye,
Mr. Ziggler.
Breaking the timeline, man.
Stop jumping ahead. We don't do that here. No.
Again, Vince's facial expressions unparalleled.
Oh yeah, he's the best.
And he's working hard to get this over too.
Yeah, and he was actually he was more enjoyable in this feud than DX at all. You know, at least his selling of the nonsense kind of worked. But
and now the handicaps to Kenny.
Yep.
And you're like, again, the facial expression on Vince, like, oh crap.
And Kenny, like we said earlier, kind of the guy.
Vince could have worked as like a vaudeville actor comedian.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He's so good with the facial expressions.
He was the first vaudevillain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Breaking the timeline, man.
How do you know? Nobody knows that now.
Now Vince is just beside himself. He's hoping against hope that his one Spirit Squad will overcome the odds.
After they pretty much swept them like 10-0, you know, by beating them all five of them twice now.
Boom!
Spirit Squad number one.
And pedigree, and that'll be it.
I appreciate Triple H tuning up the band for the pedigree.
Yes. Notice he didn't lift his leg up ass high when you don't need to see the other quad pop, so.
And it was the other leg. From the
You know, I noticed a second ago, Triple H, when he was going down for the drop down to set up the super kick a minute ago, he was a little slow on that by his standards. Don't know if that was intentional or not, but
Vince now trying to get the key from the ref.
doing, you scrub bitch?
Oh, you're fired, Jack Doan.
Once again, abusing his own employees. So sad, so sad.
No shame. Yeah,
ref
tonight,
at the though, steps.
Yeah, huh?
Ref at the steps there pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And they don't want to come out.
Yeah, their teeth stained sharp orange and they're not coming.
Right, make them look like even bigger pussies. No, no, we're going to hide in here, even though we got a 5-on-1 advantage.
One skinny guy's going to kick you.
Go on, get him.
Meanwhile, Vince fell into a pile of the Spirit Squad.
Yes.
I don't know why it bothers me so much. Like that, you know.
Sean wearing a John Rambo headband.
Yeah, where did that come from? Oh, that must be one of theirs. Ben.
That was Kenny's. Yeah. That was Kenny's. Speaking of which, I don't think Kenny's even in the cage.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think he got knocked out of the floor.
Speaking of making sure he gets put over by being the only one not caged up.
The idea that Vince turns to cheerleaders to help him in his war is pretty funny, though. This manly badass owner.
Are we going to get a crotch chop? Oh, there it is.
Does Sean do the one where he does it like on his waist because he thinks it's not as sinful or whatever?
Yeah, he can't thrust his crotch anymore.
Yes, he does it higher. Oh, if I do it up here, it doesn't really mean it. Fucking goats. Buy in, Sean. All right, so we're headed to break, and that means we're going to take a break because we're about halfway through this Bonanza Saturday Night's Main Event. It's actually been pretty entertaining so far. It's cruising along at quite the little clip. So let's take a break. When we come back, we will dive into the back end of the show, and then we'll set things up for the Great American Bash.
Because?
That's the way it began. We were hand in hand. Ben Miller's band was better than before. We yelled and screamed.
Consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds as well. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. Relive Wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We also have sports covered too with The Sports Lounge, The TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out on the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network. That's the PWO PTBN Podcast Network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Team's Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
Hey now, this is Johnny Sorrow, host of Brainbuster, co-host of Titans of Wrestling, This Week in Wrestling, and Imaginary Stories, amongst other shows in the PTBN family. And right now, I need the help of you, our loyal listeners, to help out a member of my family. Her name is Camille Lewis, and she was diagnosed with aggressive stage 3 invasive inductal carcinoma last October. They started with aggressive chemotherapy and followed that with a bilateral radical mastectomy. She is now in round 3 against the toughest opponent she has ever faced in her life, which is 10 weeks of radiation therapy. For those of you who haven't tried it before, she doesn't recommend it. Radiation therapy stinks. The side effects are extreme pain and an inability to function. Most medications for pain are not effective for Camille. Of course, living in Colorado, she has tried the medical marijuana route, which is not a viable option because it makes her head fuzzy and unable to focus or function, like me on most of my podcasts. Camille recently discovered a CBD skin compound that keeps her focused, productive, and pain-free. CBD is a compound found in marijuana that does not contain any THC, the compound that generates the psychoactive high effect. This compound has been a miracle for Camille, enabling her to engage in the healing process optimistically and without pain. Of course, the compound is not covered by insurance and is quite expensive. It's estimated that the cost for this product is going to be $4,200 over the 10-week course of her radiation therapy. This fight has been hard on Camille and the family, and the end is in sight. She's found a new love of life and appreciation for all the things that it has to offer. She can't wait to see her grandkids grow up, and you all can help. All you gotta do is go to GoFundMe.com, type in Camille versus breast cancer in the search bar, and give what you can. Any little bit helps. I mean it. Anything. You guys and gals, well, let's face it, guys, are the best listeners and fans around. And let's prove it by telling cancer to go F off. Thanks.
This is Gary Michael Capetta, and this is the Place to Be podcast with Scott Riscola and Justin Rosero.
Fourth pack is back, cause of mass destruction. Guess who's seeing the bad boys of wrestling? Testing competition when the war does their mission. Not no mercy, see the rain start to
summer of Yacht Rock, as you'll be hearing some wonderful tunes coming in and out of break here throughout the summer, so hope you're enjoying that. And of course, PlayStation.com, the home to much more than Yacht Rock, the home to everything that you need in your pop culture world. And that includes a bunch of podcasts. Of course, the new episode of Lucha Undead with guest Rob McCarron of Shake Them Ropes comes in and talk about his radio voice, Pretzels, Howard Stern, and much, much more. So be sure to check that out, the boys over there. And that is part of the PTBN Pop Feed on iTunes that you can find and subscribe to there. And we have a couple guys here that have shows on that feed. We referenced it earlier, but we're going to talk about them just really briefly. Mr. Phillips, why don't you take a moment, tell us all about the Hard Traveling Fanboys, available now on PTBN Pop.
Thanks, Justin. We are coming out every week at this point. We have been since we started a little over a month and a half ago. And every week we've got a new podcast for you about the world of comics. We do Countdown, which is counting down our five favorite of whatever, which Mr. Butler was on, the most recent episode in which we counted down the top five comic book theme songs and or scores. Mm-hmm. We have the Long Book Hunters, which is our clever name for our venture into the world of trade paperbacks and graphic novels. We review a different one each month. We have Off the Page, in which we look at a non-comic book piece of comic book memorabilia or media, rather, whether it be a video game, a movie, a TV show, even a radio serial we're looking at doing down the line. And then we have The Rundown, which is our look at the news and notes from the month in the world of comics. And ever so often, we get what we call a giant size edition, which is on any month that has a fifth Thursday, we're going to do a giant size podcast, which includes the entire comics staff. And in fact, we've got our first one dropping this week at some point, where we're going to have the entire staff giving out the prestigious third annual Place to Be Nation Comics Haffy Awards. All the best and worst in the half year of comics. And folks, this one was phenomenal. I mean, drunken antics, guitar playing, Gerard Depardieu, autoerotic asphyxiation, and a few comics thrown in.
And this is the night at Nick Duke's house.
Oh, yes, that's just the normal weekend.
So also part of that feed, Greg, we have Todd Weber's conversation. Of course,
absolutely.
You know, talking comics with various people. Our buddy Andy Hillian was on there. Sellers Point, Russell Sellers took his article as well over to podcast form, so be sure to check that out. And Mr. Butler, Spectacular, is over on that feed, housed there as well, correct?
Yes, indeed, sir. The Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular is a show that I decided to do about basically anything non-wrestling and non-sports, which is what the PTBN Pop feed is all about now.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of accidentally turned it into a bi-weekly Star Trek fan cast when I decided to do all of the movies every 2 weeks up to the release of Beyond at the end of July. But even aside from that, we've got shows on other movies, TV, politics, culture, life. The most recent pair of episodes, actually, last week, went up about the 2009 Star Trek movie. The discussion about the music for that movie was enough of its own thing that we separated that out into its own episode. But we also have a proper 3 hour plus, we do meaty ones, episode about the movie proper with Mr. Greg Phillips, in a bit of synergy, you might say, for the pop feed last week. So check that out. Check out all the previous episodes. Check out everyone's shows.
We have a lot of them. There's three specific feeds, of course, the PTB and Pop, the PWO PTBN, and then the Place to Be podcast. So you can subscribe to all of those in iTunes, and be sure to leave ratings, be sure to leave comments. That helps us get recognized, helps us move up in the iTunes rankings to gain some popularity. So be sure to check that out. And speaking of long podcasts, we had a new Between the Sheets that dropped today, looking at a very important year, June 21st to the 27th, 1996. Of course, to talk at Bash of the Beach and the Third Man, Austin 316. Lots of stuff going on that week, so check it out. Chris and Bix going, I always say solo, but I guess duo, no guest this week, but a lot to talk about. And plenty of other podcasts to check out. Titans of Wrestling had a really cool episode where Kelly and Johnny looked at the infamous boxer versus wrestler match. Of course, Muhammad Ali passed away recently, and they talk about his match with Antonio Inoki, as well as his feud with an angle with Gorilla Monsoon. So a lot to look at there. Be sure to check that out in all of our other podcasts and all of our regular features as well. Seinfeld, the WWE Network Adventure, Scott, your and me's Vintage World Refresh series, and of course, mm-hmm. those are all available in free ebook if you click the big PTB.
Yes.
Publications banner on the right-hand side of PlaceNation.com takes you to the store where you can order those. Also, you can see the Amazon link there. Be sure to click that before you go shopping. Kicks a little bit of money back to us, and it's really the only thing you need to do is click that and then move on over. Also, Steve Riddle is with us here tonight. Steve, you have a couple of articles as well that you do regularly on PlaceNation.com. Do you want to very briefly talk about those?
Sure, I will do that. Obviously, first on the docket is the Vintage Vault previewing that we mentioned. As many remember, Chad Campbell used to do that back in the day. I revived it starting at the Rumble 2006, and I do it for every Monday before the Place to Be podcast goes up with their Vintage Vaults. I take one match and break it down and take a look at it. As mentioned, for this show we did, I looked at that six-man tag. And I'm still kind of debating yet what I want to do for the Great American Bash next week. Have a couple ideas, so looking forward to get back into that show. And my other monthly piece, I guess you could say, is something I like to call the Box Office Report. For those of you who read my little bio, I do work at a movie theater, which I have for now almost for over 9 years. So I thought what would be kind of cool was taking a look back at the box office figures from certain years, and for this project I started 10 years ago. I take a look at the top 10 movies from that month. I list who I feel were the winners and losers of the month, a story of the month, an over and under achiever of the month, keep track of movies that are nominated for certain awards, and give my overall thoughts. So just today, actually posted was June 2006, which was a very successful month. I had a couple of films do extremely well. And next month will be July 2006, which was mainly dominated by the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie. So I'm anxious to see how the rest of the box office for that month shaped up. So very exciting looking at that stuff, doing my visual previews. And I'm still kind of batting around the idea for maybe some other pieces.
All right, there you go. Well, we'll make sure we keep everyone abreast of those as they come about. So PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Check it out. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, we're all there. Search us out, find us, follow us, and be up to date. So here we are. We are about a little more than halfway through the July 2006 Saturday Night's Main Event. We are paused right after the DX Spirit Squad match. Mm-hmm. So gentlemen, I believe around, what was it, 4803. Okay, 4803. So I'm going to count us in, and everyone can hit play along with us in 3, 2, 1. This Monday.
Okay, the Vince and Shane impression was really good.
That was good. That was the best thing that they did in that whole run. But we get more DX and McMahons on Monday Raw.
And the Diva Search.
Oh, that's right. I forgot there was an 06 Diva Search.
Is that the last one?
Thankfully.
Yeah, third and last.
Oh, look, Sabu's talking.
Well, Sabu promo. Hard push for Sabu here with the rebirth, especially with RVD getting pinched, which we'll talk about. I guess in a couple weeks at SummerSlam, but Sabu, now kind of the de facto top face on ECW.
I got to say deserved, too. I thought he was really bringing it around this time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He was focused. He was on point. His matches were really good. You could tell he really was trying to make this one count. And yeah, I agree with you. He definitely earned the spot that they were giving him here. And it's cool that they gave it to him, you know?
Now, RVD, had he been arrested at this point?
Yes, July 4th.
Yes.
The weekend of July 4th.
Which is kind of funny since Sabu was with them and he got in trouble too, but yet he got the lenient part. And now we have the great Kali in the ring with Daivari still with him.
Yes. Daivari's no Ranjan Singh.
No. See him eventually. Kali's got quite the goatee going on.
Back when he used to actually be legitimately thought as a big monster heel before he went all soft
with the completely unintimidating chopping of the hand motion.
Yes.
I mean, it's too bad he couldn't. Like, he had a good look, and after beating Undertaker, I mean, he had some cred right away. You know, I don't know. If I'm them, I think I would have even went even harder with him at this point out of the gate and just burnt him off. Like, his heart, you know, I know they do it eventually, but I feel like I would have capitalized immediately here.
I would have gotten somebody who knew how to work a little bit, you know? Like, he was just so awkward.
He did have such a good look, though, for a big guy.
True.
Because, you know, he was kind of cut. Not cut, but he was stacked a little bit. You know, he wasn't...
Yeah.
It wasn't like the guy coming out right now.
Yeah, this was stacked like meatloaf.
That ECW's title looks so small, just over his shoulder.
Every belt Big Show ever held looked like like it was foam.
Even the gigantic WCW title, yeah.
But I think this one in particular, just because we know, you know, the ECW titles weren't, you know, because, you know, a lot of people probably thought they weren't as, you know, looked as good as the WWF titles or even the WCW titles.
I think it was the colors and the weird, like, blood schemes and all that. They looked like toys.
And
I always liked that element of it, though. I always thought that made it more distinctive.
Oh, no, I agree with you, Glenn. I'm just saying that that's where I think that Steve's coming from, where the WWE and the WCW ones looked like trophies, whereas the ECW ones look like freakazoid ones that people, like, made with, like, tinfoil, you know?
So what's the game?
Go
ahead, Steve.
I was about to say, not often that Big Show is actually shorter than somebody. Kali looks like he's got a few inches on him.
Was there a reason Kali came out, did they say? Scott, you know?
I think he was just cutting the promo on Taker. Same. I don't know if the Bash match was... I think the Bash match... Obviously, the Bash match was booked, so they were cutting that. But you just look at close up at Taker, at Big Show. I mean, his eyes are swollen.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's not good.
I mean, he looks like he's about to just fall over and die right there. I mean, he's bloated. Big Show was always a little, he had a little bit of a gut. But now he's just, he's just way over the top. And he just doesn't look healthy. Mm. Look at his eyes. They're all like he got punched.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I think he was also working a really hard style at this point. I'll give this to him. I enjoyed his ECW title run. I thought he worked really hard, but I think that style, I think there's a reason guys his size don't work that style. And
right.
I think it was wearing on him even.
Weird seeing, remembering that Paul Heyman used to be with other guys because he's nowadays he's just so recognized as being the agent of Brock Lesnar.
Mm. Mm.
Well, I feel like in his second run post like the Dangerous Alliance, Big Show's maybe the other guy he's most associated with. You know, he was with him for a while in 02 and 03 and then back together here again. So in like WWE canon land as a manager, it's probably Brock and then Show to me of the two guys I think of him most associated with.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
I noticed Big Show looked like he had some fresh cuts on his head. I wonder if he had that was recently.
I think him and Mr. Saito wanted to get into a McDonald's, and I think he got a little frisky.
Well, didn't he have that really good match with Flair on ECW recently?
Yeah, they were all during the build up here. Yeah, all those ones.
He was putting in good work, I thought, around this time.
All right, well, here comes the dead man.
Check out a minute ago in the audience the free Van Damme sign.
Yes, I saw that too.
Fucking RVD.
Not quite, sucker.
Finally gets his chance and then just
blows it
up in smoke.
Well, I mean, it's literally dumb. It's dumb, but it's also kind of their fault for caring about pot. As well.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but he got arrested with it. I don't know. It's like, this is a bad look. Guy's waited forever, finally gets the world title, and then he fucking gets arrested.
Like, well, I mean, at the same time, I don't really think it was like – I think you know what you're getting with RVD. Yeah. You know, like
– But it's not like you just failed the test, Glenn. You know what I mean? Like, to me,
yeah,
it's
no,
like –
No, I know. Getting arrested and you know, pulled over and arrested is worse than
bad
that.
Bad look.
Yeah, that's I think why they did what they did with him, because he got busted.
Dope, literally. But yeah, just bad timing for him. Like the one time,
the worst timing possible. Yeah, that's true.
And this is all just filler because Undertaker's still coming to the ring. Good on them though to roll him out there at least for the crowd, and you know they're really working hard to make this a pretty special show. They've had some big matches. You got a world title match. You got Undertaker appearance. You know, a lot going on.
Let's say hypothetically somebody had an issue with their network stream a minute ago. What timestamp are we on at the moment? Hypothetically,
55:05.
That's where I am at.
Excellent.
10, 11, 12.
Still with The Undertaker.
Yeah, you really haven't missed it. You might have saved yourself some time.
And they really are going all out for this show, since this is an era where the brand split was still held to a lot more than it would be going on later. So to get a show with, you know, DX and Cena and Batista and Undertaker – you know, you have everyone there.
Right, that's even
a lot
after
of star power.
Right, and that's now after adding the third brand. Forget two. Now you got three.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Taker's looking at Show. Taker's looking at Show going, don't look at me. You remember Armageddon? You blew Armageddon, Show.
You already look dead. I'm not going to bother with you.
Yeah.
Undertaker desperately trying to send Kali over the top rope just now.
And Big Show gets him from behind.
By any means necessary.
Here we go. Maybe they did know something about – I don't know. You're right. They really are transitioning into Big Show here. Although part of me thinks they were just trying to hide Kali because they knew he couldn't do much week to week. So they kind of putting some heat on Show.
These two guys I always thought had good chemistry.
They did.
Taker and Show. Really?
Yeah.
They weren't afraid to lay into each other.
Brock and Show, too. Show has a good chemistry with all the big guys.
I think Show works better with big guys than he does with smaller guys, weirdly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Taker trying now, looking for a choke slam. Oh, now a double one. This ain't going to work.
This has been a pretty impressive move.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh.
Let's hold hands.
I know. Kali squeezing Big Show's hand to make the
double choke.
Choke
slam to Taker.
Kali did half of a move.
I'm sure that was Big Show probably doing all the heavy lifting.
Will Kali chop his hand again? Let's see. That's what we're all waiting for.
Or raise his hands, or raise his arms up in the air like usual. Like that's like his other big pose.
No, he's just gonna stare. That's fine.
Nope, he might. He might. Both hands go up. Hey, no,
he may I'll give him credit. I'll give him credit for this though. Yeah, I mean they're going for it. Like I'll never, fault them for at least going all out with a guy. You know what I mean? It's like at least. If you're going to push a guy, buy in all the way, and they're doing it here. So I can't even fault them for it this time around.
And I kind of like the undercurrent that it's Daivari's revenge for all the Muhammad Hassan stuff.
Yeah,
that he went back to India and got the biggest, baddest guy possible.
I think he just did the chop taunt.
Yes. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Well, you got to remind people that's the move that beat The Undertaker. That's some scary stuff.
Did he do the two fists? Nope, he walks off.
If I remember correctly the origin story that they wrote on WWE.com for Great Khali was one of the greatest things of all time. Like wasn't he like chopping tigers in the middle of the jungle in India or whatever when Daivari found him from a helicopter?
I like to think they
took
it from
that.
When did that Willy Wonka movie come out? Wasn't that similar when he found the Oompa Loompas with the second Willy Wonka?
I think that was a year earlier.
So there you go. That's where they got it from.
That's where they got it from, yeah, because he was like flying over in a helicopter and he said – the interview said that I found a creature that would destroy even the Undertaker. It was in-depth. It was cool.
Yeah, they need more of that stuff. 06 is such a weird year. Like they do so many little things right here and there, but just overall such a shit show.
Yes. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory came out July 15th, 2005.
There you go. So Vince saw it, and then they did the backstory on Kali.
And then he got the midget or the leprechaun who didn't want to be an Oompa Loompa.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Sizes.
I think we're probably at the height of Paul Heyman's ponytail being at its longest before coming back, and he has no more.
Yeah, it's the skullet with the long ponytail is never a great look.
As you can see, somebody's been working on the monkey bars. In the background, on that giant ladder that's set up.
That is a random ladder. It's really looking at fixing up that ceiling, too. Where's this again?
This is the American Dallas. Airlines Arena in Dallas.
Center.
Center, right. I'm sorry. And wasn't this the year the Mavs won the championship? I believe it was.
No, the Heat beat the Mavs.
That's right. The Mavs lost in a... Yeah. Somewhat controversial fashion. According
Mr. Nunez
to some.
Will be very upset if you don't get that correct, both his arena and his team. So,
I know we couldn't hear the audio, but I think it sounded like there, JR, I think you could correct me. I think Big Show just issued a challenge for The Undertaker that Tuesday.
Yes, he did.
He did. Taker does go to ECW, yeah.
This is when immediately the show started getting its balls broken at that point.
Well, Stevie Richards' appearance.
Dancing Stevie. Dancing away from Sabu's errant chair.
I'll show you. You'll see.
When the rules go extreme.
I always love how they drag out Styles of Taz for like the one match on the show where it's like, you know,
speaking of Taz,
2 minutes.
It's funny that I just realized earlier in the show when we can't say his actual name, but when the leprechaun came out, JBL laughs and goes, we can have the leprechaun versus Taz in a stepladder match.
Oh, God.
So bad.
I mean, it really is a big showcase for Sabu here. I mean, to get the one ECW Saturday Night's Main Event slot, pretty much. I mean, I know Show was out, but he didn't have a match.
Sabu quiet in the crowd saying, I'm going to sneak up on him, and he tosses a chair at him.
And see, this is a side of Sabu that you never see. This is like a little bit of that WWE influence on Sabu.
Like
a little bit of the entertainment
kind of
aspect. Yeah. A little bit of playing to the crowd more, you know.
And working fast, too. I mean, and he was hit everything. You know, it's
his spot. Yeah.
The control slot. But there's a lot of cool Sabu stuff on. There's one of the recent Between the Sheets I listened to. It was actually an older one, probably from November. And they talk a lot about, Sabu, the way he worked. Everyone just thinks like he was a sloppy spot monkey, you know? But he actually had psychology in the way, you know, the way he would botch things on purpose to set up stuff later. It was really interesting. It was the one with Dave Prazak from November. If you guys, if no one's ever, you know, if you haven't listened or you're not a regular listener, there's a lot of cool, real good Sabu insight. Dave was big with ECW at the time, so some cool stuff in there. Anyway, I digress.
But when he hit the spots, they always looked so impressive. Like when,
oh yeah,
like the, just the balance every time he hit that triple jump moonsault was just unbelievable.
Dancing Stevie's about to take a trip here, I believe.
Yeah. Meanwhile, with this ECW rejuvenation, Stevie Richards got on TV again, and and you know the table just isn't cooperating tonight. So move Stevie up, move around. It'll be okay.
This is ballsy to still attempt this right now with the half with the table.
What were we just saying about the spots?
Well, you know, it's the ECW way,
right? In a way, it kind of worked that he just went for it anyway. He didn't try and fix it. There we go.
I said when he hit them correctly, they looked impressive. I didn't say he hit them correctly all the time.
More throw surgery for Stevie.
Adding the extra leg drop with the chair.
Wait, did he just pull a nail out from his tights?
Oh, maybe from the table? Did it come off the table maybe or something?
I don't know. It looked like there, it's in his mouth.
The hell?
It's like a spike.
It's like a spike.
Oh, maybe he was going to use it.
Yeah, he pulled out a spike. He was going to gig him. It's the ECW way.
My favorite segment right here.
Randy,
so listen, you know, we could do some drugs and, you know, there won't be no wellness. Failures.
Tell me more, Randy.
You know, hey, oh, whoa. Look, brother, if there's going to be any drug taken, it'd be me. Oh, sorry.
See you at SummerSlam, brother.
What are you going to do, dude?
I got a reality show to film. I got Knobs coming over to jump in the pool.
Knobs going to eat all my popcorn.
Brooke just looks so awkward. I don't know why. She just looks so
wait for it.
Weird.
Oh, got to walk around the backside of the car.
And there we
There's
go.
There's the RKO.
Out of nowhere.
It's a good spot in a vacuum, but when you actually watch the execution, it's one that really needed like the Kevin Dunn quick cut. You know what I mean? So we didn't actually see Hogan kind of amble behind the car and then stand there for a split second.
Or someone like Jeff Hardy to take it or something, right. You know?
What happened?
Brooke is right back out to a caress Hulk. Hold his hand.
Who is this guy?
It's, you know.
Like Hulk, you okay, dude?
Like I said, she just looks so awkward.
And you said it wasn't great to see the whole thing, so let's see it again.
Yeah. As if we didn't get the point earlier.
Are they going to show the hat guy, too, whoever that was?
Did they really have to do the RKO? They couldn't have just had him like slam his head in the car door or something?
I know. I was thinking that same thing. That would have been much better.
Yeah. I'll give him points to trying, I guess.
Hulk has a pulse. Yeah.
How this feud should have then happened was... Orton just said, I have no idea, and have the guy come over, and then, you know, Orton and her get in the car and drive off. And
you know, if this is going to be Saturday night's main event, they needed to do this earlier in the show and then have Brooke praying by Hogan's stretcher when the EMS is taking him out like Liz.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad Orton didn't do that to Nick Hogan. I'm going to save that kid's life with the car.
Right out of nowhere.
That mechanical bull was... That mechanical bull looked like it was just having a seizure a minute ago.
Right. Well, it's pissed that Mickey James isn't involved anymore.
Who's under it? Who's under it? The gobbledygooker?
You know, maybe it's because
what is that?
It is a weird looking bull.
Maybe it's because I've never been to Texas. I am from the deep south, but
it looks like the mantar. It looks like the mantar head.
It does. I've never quite understood the whole mechanical bull thing, but perhaps it's a. Perhaps it's a Texas thing.
It's a euphemism, Greg. It's a euphemism.
I have to say, I've always thought that Michelle here was always pretty hot, too. Still rocking the ruler there back from her schoolgirl days.
I don't remember that being a thing.
Yeah, we've still got school teacher Michelle McCool.
Yeah.
God, I don't even remember that.
Yep.
Was it like the Dean Douglas gimmick?
Might have been after this, actually, now that I think about it.
Well, you know, she kind of... I thought she had it from this... Oh, no. She had the athletic thing for a while, right?
A little while, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember.
Because then she has a teacher's pets. I think that's a little bit later in 06.
Yeah. Oh, that's over over the summer. She has them as a tag team, yeah. But even separate from that, she has that sort of,
right?
You know, just kind of strict school teacher heel
educational
thing.
Odd choice to have Victoria be the one out here. I mean, you know, whatever. But with all the other women, they have to run out on this primetime Saturday night. Odd choice for the push.
And of course, since Michelle had the cowgirl hat on, now Victoria's got to do the Indian routine here.
Not that Donko was around. They could have teamed them up.
Great. Then they could have put on his blog that they were the greatest mixed tag team in the history.
You should have came out and did this. That would have been really good.
Tatanka? Yeah.
Yes.
Native American Tatanka. I'm sorry.
He was still around, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Oop.
He was in the phase where he did nothing but chop.
Oh, no, it's over.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. I didn't realize it was down to those two. So, yeah, it is weird that Victoria was the one.
Right? It's an odd choice.
That's a short night for that referee.
Yes. And Grisham.
Oh, man. Broke the ruler. Where is she going to get another one of those?
It's a yardstick.
Uh-oh.
What a jerk.
Oh, there it goes.
Well, there you go, Michelle. Although, is she a face here? Because the teacher's pets are heels, right, Glenn? So it must be after this.
Yeah, that kind of transitioned around this time. In contrast, we've got our title match coming up.
Yeah,
and they profile. As JR says, let's profile these two men.
One man stands for hustle, loyalty, and respect.
Yeah, definitely.
The other...
Okay. The other stands for live sex celebrations.
The other doesn't stand much. He lies down a lot. With other guys' women.
I almost went into my Todd Pettin voice. The Undertaker. Bret the Hitman.
Ed Hart. This Saturday on Mania.
Yeah, them saying this is the first title match in SNME history in 14 years definitely sound a lot better than the two shows ago.
Well, let's see if this is better than Bret Hart Baba Shango, which is a fine little match.
Oh yeah, I got nothing against that.
And now back to Hitman One Night Stand.
It was Edge.
I still find it hilarious when I did my previewing of that CNRVD match, how a few matches ago the entire building wanted Edge's blood, and then after he helps, and then after he speeds RVD Cena through the table, they're like, Thank you, Edge. It's like, you hypocrites.
They're all drunk.
They just hated Cena more than they hated Edge.
You wouldn't have guessed in that 6-man tag.
They hated Cena more than they hated anybody in the world.
Saddam Hussein and John Cena.
Yeah, that crowd thought Cena was objectively pro Saddam.
You know, I've considered it, and I gotta say, he's got some good policies.
Wow, black eye.
What a brawl right there. Awkward title hold up by Mickey J.
Mickey Henson.
Mickey Henson. I'm sorry. I don't mean to call him by his old gimmick name.
Greg, do you watch anything?
Saving you the comment later, Greg, tomorrow. Yeah, it was actually Mickey Henson.
Yeah, he used to be Mickey J.
He was. WCW.
What's next? We're waiting for Wrath and Mortis?
Yes.
Are they part of the new ECW?
I wish. So what's going to happen when Sexton Hardcastle defends against Cena next?
Hardcastle and the prototype. Wow, NBC must be killing themselves right now with that shot.
Jesus.
Wow.
I know, Lita's just hanging all out of that shirt.
I thought RVD already brought Chronic back, so I don't know if Wrath can come.
Oh, God.
Chronic.
I do have to say, though, I thought it was definitely a good show for Edge that, you know, he had his, you know, big Money in the Bank cash in January, and then they took the belt off him three weeks later, and everyone thought he was toast, and yet he was able to stick around, and now he's the champ again. Definitely shows that they have the faith in him to be one of their top guys.
Yeah, I think the Triple H thing has gotten in the way of Mania. Like, I think they definitely saw him as a champion throughout the summer here. So they almost got boxed in by having to have him cash in before Mania because of the gimmick being 1 year. Like, I think if it was up to them, they just would have waited till maybe like right after Mania and then did it. But because of the way of stipulation, they had to do it when they did.
Plus, the stuff that Edge did with Foley through WrestleMania and One Night Stand, mm-hmm. and the match at Backlash kind of did a lot to get him more on that level. So it wasn't just he cashed in the Money in the Bank on a vulnerable guy and got the title. He grew into the role of someone who belonged in the main event.
Yep, okay.
Absolutely. Okay. I don't think that he grew to become the heel Edge that he would become in later years until that Foley feud. I thought that was really what put him on the map as far as really feeling, to me, comfortable in that role as a top-level heel. And now by this point, he's to that point now, and I think it was his time.
Right. Don't forget, guys, SummerSlam. August 20th, live on pay per view.
Not for $9.99.
I'll call my cable company.
I hate the spinner belt so much. I'm sorry. The title only, being sideways.
And only $49.99.
Was it $49.99? I thought it was still like $39.99 back then.
No,
it was up to $49.99 at that point.
Yeah.
I wasn't ordering the pay-per-views all the time back then anyway, so I don't know.
No, I was a one pay-per-view a year orderer, and it was always Mania.
I was a Buffalo Wild Wings watcher for years.
I don't blame you. I turned into a Hooters watcher because we didn't have a Wild Wings here at the time.
I'm trying to think back because I actually ordered them, but it was always like three of us splitting the costs, and I feel like, yeah, maybe we kicked in like 18 a piece or something like that. I don't remember the exact amount, but it was around there. But yeah, my cable bill always was wincing, but usually I collected ahead of time. So
yeah, this was actually around the time I found out that the Wild Wings close to me was playing them. Before that, I saw, I think, No Way Out in WrestleMania at Hooters, which I always find Hooters very creepy, so I was very glad to find another place playing it.
Yeah, it was a very – the Hooters here in Dothan, Alabama was a curious place, to be sure. Quite
Alabama
the crowd.
Alabama Hooters, yes. I would think that'd be interesting. Yes.
You talking about the Hooters in Milford Glen?
Yeah.
Really? I actually saw a pay-per-view there.
That's why it was creepy.
The same one? Damn it. Then I went to Dothan.
Like this old guy was leering all the way.
Then he went to Dothan and started his own clique.
I started my own creep clique. No. The Wild Wings at the Mall was open in 2006?
Yeah.
Or are you thinking of another one? Really? It's been there that long?
By the summer at least. I'm not sure when it opened, but I know I was there for Vengeance and for this show.
Wow, it's been there 10 years? Holy
well, shit. Not the Saturday Night's main event, but you know, the SummerSlam and
no, but still though, I mean 10 years, 2006? Wow. I didn't think it was there that long.
Those are two signs in the crowd there. One had NBC, no beating Cena, right next to it. Cena is a chump.
Yeah.
I really like how Edge embraces the heat here. Backs away, runs away.
I think Glenn made a good point. I mean, a lot of development from the winter. Because even his match at the Rumble with Cena, they didn't have great chemistry, very stilted, very rigid. And then you watch him here, and they seem already, like, just a couple minutes in, much more fluid.
I feel Edge is a lot more confident here, personally. Yeah. And you know, Cena, too. Cena's improved a lot since 2005, for sure. But I feel like Edge is confident in his heeldom. He's just playing the sleaziest, dirtiest heel that there is, and he's really embracing that role.
Yep.
You could really feel over the course of this whole year that Edge knew that he was someone who had been high on the card for a long time and been put in good positions for a long time, but he knew he was breaking out and he knew he was getting his big chance and he was really growing into it. I mean, you can see, like you said, Jared, the progression from the Royal Rumble match is him really consciously growing into his role more and more.
Yeah, that one stood out to me, too, because and Steve, you did your write-up on it, too. I just didn't really – that match never clicked, and I don't know if it's because of the disappointment of Edge losing so quickly or – oh, that could have
– oh, that was unfortunate.
There goes Cena's wrist and the confidence. nasty spill as you try to put superplex in the edge.
Oh, now I just saw it. I think I'm a few seconds behind you guys, but yeah, I just saw it too. Yeah, he's lucky he did not get seriously hurt on that one.
It looks like Cena broke his wrist for a minute the way he was holding it.
Fractured a disc, which fragmented into his spinal cone. Sorry.
Just actually, back, you're talking about the pay-per-views and your viewing events. Usually by this time, I was in the habit of just buying them on DVD right after they came out. So I'd always just wait.
Nice.
Were they already out? They were also showing them on 24/7, I think, at this point. Remember they would air them like a month after they would put them up. I have a ton. I have all these on tape from that.
Ooh, nice big boot.
From 24/7 re-airing them all.
Yeah, I really like, you can just tell their chemistry is much different here than it was at the Rumble.
Yeah, but at this point, they're still trying to like get the rhythm back from the spill earlier.
Yeah, Edge looked like he was, you know, looked a little wobbly there before he hit that boot.
Yeah, well, they're getting it back a little bit now with this exchange, but Edge kind of taking control for a few seconds in there, kind of slowing things down, resetting.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
But I dig, you know, which is something I didn't dig at the time, but I dig Cena's kind of awkward, goofy selling that he does where he sells the strikes, you know. I actually like that, especially from a babyface.
I wonder if people...
Now we got a slugfest.
I wonder if anyone expected Cena to win here with the, you know, take the title on the big Saturday Night event, big title switch, get it off a, you know, back on a Cena to stabilize it a bit. Like, it, you know, I think there's actually some genuine intrigue in this match.
Yeah. I think that's I thought at the time, if I'm remembering correctly. I think I thought, right, oh, Cena's going over here, and that was just their way to transition it. But
especially with SummerSlam in Boston, you figure maybe he'd go in his champ.
Mm-hmm.
Also, especially remembering the Edge stuff from the Royal Rumble that we were talking about a minute ago, there was the sense that, you know, maybe Edge is just going to transition it back to Cena again.
Well, if I remember correctly, that triple threat that Edge won the title that had RVD, I think that was originally scheduled for this, but they bumped it up after, you know, what happened with RVD.
Yep.
So I wonder if Edge was supposed to win the title here and then do the build to SummerSlam, and Lita just pulled the ref out of the ring. That may draw the DQ here.
Yeah, definitely possible, Steve. I think it's a good point, but we won't get too into the weeds on that one.
It is fascinating, though, because the next – after the Bash, the next two pay-per-views are both in these guys' hometowns.
Right.
Because obviously you had SummerSlam in Boston, and then Unforgiven was in Toronto.
I think Steve's right. I think for sure that RVD's WWE title reign was going to end by this point anyway. So it probably just sheared off a couple weeks. I think it definitely cut his ECW reign short.
Oh, sorry, John's facial expressions on the STF are ridiculous.
STFU has always been great.
Ooh, shaky.
And Lita came in to throw the whole thing out.
Oh, nice slap there by Lita.
Good stuff. I like this heel heat here by having him win that way.
Yeah,
there's the DQ.
This is it. I mean, they really embraced Saturday's main event, going over really 80s with this finish.
And Cena's realizing what the finish is.
Oh, but they've just killed Chicago at Starrcade.
Man, next thing you know, Edge is going to put a bounty out on Cena.
And then do some coke.
Yes.
That goes without saying.
And get pulled over. The circle of life. Big spear for Edge. Interesting they let him kind of get the heat and the last shot in. You know what I mean? And usually the face will get that.
Clutches his knee. As
we're not done yet.
That spear.
Oh, yep, there's the spear. Hey, let me jump ahead here.
But we're not done yet, JR.
Oh, okay.
He does get the last spot at this moment. But
Cena always gets the last laugh.
Last laugh.
And he always wins.
I think this was definitely Lita's peak at this point, just being the, you know, hot,
yeah,
you know, slutty girlfriend here of Edge, helping him win all his matches.
Cena from out of nowhere.
Oh, there you go.
I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of this in the match instead of the goofy facial expression at the end for the STF, but, you know.
Since we don't have a Spanish announce table for this kind of thing, we have to use the ECW announce table.
It's the same thing.
Scrubs.
Well,
you know, used it for 3 minutes anyway before.
That monitor shot was pretty stiff.
Yeah.
He smoked Edge on that one.
That's probably the only reason why they brought the ECW guys in for that to use the table was for them to do it for potentially use it here.
Probably. That becomes such a theme on some of these pay-per-views too, where they bring those poor bastards in for, you know, just one match on a big show. Sometimes like 3 minute matches like here. All right, so I take back everything I said about Cena not getting his heat at the end.
Nope, not good enough.
Nope.
He's going to hear it.
Getting his heat, but you know what? The justice still has not been done. He still doesn't have his title.
I like how JR kept yelling, "Don't do something you're going to regret." This is in 1985 where Bill Watts is going to fine or suspend him. I mean, it's like,
he hit the man outside the ring. That's a $10,000 fine, for God's sake.
And then, meanwhile, Cole and JBO in the background looking like they could care less about this whole thing.
I know. Cole's just checking out his facial hair one more time before they head out for the night.
Combing the soul patch.
Meanwhile, Edge is D-E-D dead.
So, again, clearly setting up for another match with these two.
Yep.
So, that pretty much wraps this episode here. What do you guys... we can go around like we do for the other live watches. I mean, I really enjoyed it. Glenn, what would you give this out of 10?
I thought this was really good. I thought it really moved. I'd give it like an 8.
Steve?
I agree. I thought the six man was, you know, good for what we saw. This match was pretty good for what we saw. I'll go with Glenn. So I'll give it an 8.
Philip Greggs?
Thought the pace was really good. I'm going to give it a 7 just because I don't think there was anything great per se, but I thought that there was a lot of good stuff and it moved at a good clip. Thought the Khali promo was a bit of a slowdown, but that's all right.
Yeah, I'd probably go 6.5, 7-ish, only because it was a really great match on this show, but it definitely cruised. You have all the big stars, a lot of angle progression, setting up, you know, both the Bash and SummerSlam. As far as it did what it was meant to be. It was meant to be a big showcase of them in prime time. I thought they did a really good job with that. So I'd go right around there. If there was one big anchor match, I would have been a little bit higher, but the DX match just didn't do it for me. How about you, Scott?
I'll split the difference between everyone. I'll say 7.5. I definitely liked it better than the one in March. Mm. Flowed better. I enjoyed it. I really think that they did a good build to the Bash, particularly for the SmackDown side. Big pop for Batista. Cena Edge, like, on fire right now. The Taker thing was a little slow, but I think it needed to be done. And the DX stuff is the DX stuff. There's really nothing else to say about it.
All right, Greg, real quick, your match of the night.
I am going to go the 6-man tag. Enjoyed it.
Glenn?
Same.
Steve?
I'll go with that as well.
I'm kind of torn between that and Cena. I actually really like Cena Edge. I thought it was pretty fun. Only because I had such a bad taste in their last big marquee match at the Rumble. So I'll give a slight nod to that. I thought they did a good job teasing what would become SummerSlam's main event. Scott?
I like Cena Edge as well. Okay. I think it pulled the ripcord on what was going to be a great, you know, multi-month feud.
All right, there you go. No, Saturday's main event, the live watch in the books, fellas. So thank you so much for joining us, Greg, Steve, and Glenn. As always, Scott, you and I will be back next week. I believe still, even though it's 4th of July, we'll be here Monday night. That's the plan.
Yes.
As long as you don't get pulled over for smoking pot over the weekend, we'll be here on July 4th.
Yes.
And we'll be talking Great American Bash. Very fitting, the timing of this one, of course.
Exactly. I thought of that today. I thought that was pretty awesome. Yeah, fit perfectly.
So we'll be talking that. And, of course, everyone have a great long weekend, holiday weekend. Stay tuned. We have a new main event this week, Scott. What do you got going on there?
It's going to be a great one. Myself, Mr. Ben Morse, Mr. Jordan Duncan. It's a two-part. Well, it's two parts. We are going to do the mid-year report for WWE. We'll go through the roster, see how guys have done first 6 months, how they'll do next 6 months. And then our first ever main event mailbag. Got a lot of great questions that our listeners have given me and of all various topics and questions. So it's going to be a fun show.
Okay, and be sure if you didn't hear it, the first episode of Clotheslines and Headlines dropped last Wednesday. Myself,
excellent,
Steve Willey, Nate Milton, taking you around the world of current day wrestling. We'll be back next week as well. I believe Tuesday next week, not positive, but we're lining up our guests now. be talking definitely, I know for sure, we're going to have the Cowboy on to preview Brock's UFC 200 match. So definitely tune in for that, and a lot more we'll be covering as well. So that's it. We're out. We'll talk to you next week. Everyone have a great long weekend. For Glenn, for Greg, for Steve, Scott and I, we're out. We'll talk to you at the Bash next Monday. Everyone take care.
It's a great, great American Bash.
Very good, gents.
I'm taking it next semester, and I know why. Hey, hey, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Go to the next, go to the next, go to the next.
I was gonna go to work, but then I got high. Ooh, I just got a new promotion, but I got high. La da da. Now I'm selling dope, and I know why.
Why, baby?
Cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I was gonna go to court before I got high. Ooh, I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
La da. They took my whole paycheck, and I know why.
Why, baby?
Cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I wasn't gonna run from the cops, but I was high.
I'm serious, man.
I was gonna pull right over and stop, but I was high. La da da. Now I'm a paraplegic, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da da. I was gonna pay my car note until I got high.
Say what? Say what?
Ooh, I wasn't gonna gamble on the boat, but then I got high. La-da. Now the tow truck's pulling away, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I was gonna make love to you, but then I got high.
I'm serious.
I was gonna eat your pussy too, but then I got high. Now I'm jacking off, and I know why.
Turn this shit off.
Yeah, hey, no, because I got high.
Hey, do that over,
because
man.
I got high. Because I got high.
Come on, man. Don't, like, come on, come on.
Go, go. I messed up my entire life because I got high.
Go, go, go.
I lost my kids and wife because I got high.
Say what? Say what? Say what? Say what?
Now I'm sleeping on the sidewalk, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La 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 da da da. I'ma stop singing this song because I'm high.
President,
baby. I'm singing this whole thing wrong because I'm high.
Bring it back, bring it back.
And if I don't sell one copy, I'll know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, cause I'm high. Cause I'm high, cause I'm high.
Are you really high, though, man?
Da, 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 la, da, 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 la, da, da, da.
He really is high, man.
Shoop, shoop, shooby-doo-wah.
Get jiggy with it. Skippity-bee-bop. Oh, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back.
Loo-dee-doo-doo. Say what, say what? Cause I'm high, cause I'm high, cause I'm high.
What a cluck at, huh?
My name is Afro Man, and I'm from East Palmdale.
East Palmdale.
And all the tumbleweed I be smoking is bomb as hell, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Excellent delivery.
I don't believe in Hitler, that's what I said.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, so all of you skins,
skins,
please give me more hair.